What we have is we have a dynamic duo, or if you will, on the scene. The first one was the beast out of the sea, and the dragon, the devil, the serpent, gave his power and authority to the beast out of the sea. So the dragon gets to be a sort of a stand-in counterfeit God the Father. You then have the God the Son embodiment in the Antichrist, who is his counterfeit for Christ, God the Son. And now what we have is the spiritual side being cultivated in this false prophet, this interloper in the issues of religion. And it says he spoke as a dragon one might speak. Now, when you read that and you think in terms of a dragon speaking, you have to ask yourself, what does that look like? I mean, how does a dragon speak? Well, when we remember who the dragon is, we know that he is, in fact, the devil himself. So we can begin to trace, well, how does he show up and what does he say? Well, very first time you find the devil in the Bible, and what do you find? You find him in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, and the Bible says he was more subtle than all the angels or all the animals in the garden. He was more shrewd. He was more prudent. He had the arguments and he had the reasoning. And what's the first thing he said? He said, "Hath God surely said?" Doubts word of God. God's word doesn't matter. He says, "Eve, have you chucked out this tree over here? We're not supposed to eat. Hath God surely said, you shall not eat?" He didn't really mean that. Now, folks, when people start taking your Bible and start saying, "He didn't really mean that," when he said, "Fear not him that can destroy body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell." He didn't really mean that. You don't have to worry about God who can cast. There's no God that could cast somebody into hell. Do you know, we are so confused about how we look at things. If somebody destroys your son or daughter, somebody ripped and tore and destroyed their lives, you would call for blood and vengeance. You would. And you would have deep-seated feelings and emotions and pangs and calls and cries for justice. And God sees people across the scope of time, and He sees them constantly destroying His people and destroying one another living as if there is no God. And He sees every abortion, He sees every murder, He sees every theft, every lust, He sees every disrespect, He sees every rebellion, He sees every atheistic inclination, He sees it all. And then He sees how it impacts those around them. You know? If I'm a big sports lover dad and I've got the burly, you know, thing going on, "Let's do this, son, we're going to go to a ball game." And I'm all about sports. I don't have anything for God, but "Son, come on. Daughter, you go be a cheerleader." You know, there comes a point where dad's got to say, "Am I going to get my cheerleader up to the head of the football team and not say anything?" Because they're worldview and their values, the things they care about, I understand that, give me another beer. And they're living an ungodly life. And ungodliness does not mean they're overtly evil. It just means they act as if there's no God. The Bible says the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment. But they're like the chaff that the wind drives away. When they hear the Word of God open, it's like wind to them. They don't want anything. And the wind drives them away because they're chaff. They have no substance. They have no commitment to the Word of God. But the godly, what is about the godly? Well, the godly, he stands not in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. Man, he has no greater joy than in a nook with a book. Man, he this is good. Just tell me more. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. You see, the Bible says that this guy's going to speak like a dragon. He's going to have all the words of the devil, and that doesn't mean he's going to be saying mean things. He's going to be saying subtle things, subtle things. He's going to be saying shrewd things and prudent things. It is in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verses 14 and 15, where the Bible says, "And no marvel, Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. And don't be surprised, therefore, that his ministers have been transformed into ministers of light." You see, they're not going to come out and show you a pitchfork and a pointy tail and fangs. The devil's going to come in and he's going to say, "Hath God surely said? He didn't mean that. And he would never do that. Oh, God is just the God of everyone, and there are many ways to heaven, and you don't have to go to Jesus." Even though he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," what he really meant was he was a way, and there are many ways. Beloved, that is a damnable lie. It is a turning of the grace of God into foolishness, and it becomes anybody's idea. "Hath God surely said?" And she said, "He said, you can eat anything, but not this." She said, "Well, how do you sure?" "Well, God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you will be like God." That's what he said. So now what he's saying? He's saying God not only don't only doubt his word, but doubt his character. Doubt his motives, because God's holding out on you. And this is the guy who's going to be in front of the world saying things like this. He's going to say, "It doesn't matter what that is. Here's how God looks. Here's how God behaves." And he's going to redefine things in a very, very powerful way. If you follow him throughout the Scriptures, you find out here in this passage, he's likened to a beast. And the very interesting thing about the word beast here is the word is therion, and the word comes from a word thera. It means to trap. These beasts are both in the business of trapping. And folks, I'm telling you something today. There are trappers all around you. If you do not stay close to the Word of God, you will easily be entrapped by the wandering that is so strong and powerful in our day. The tendency to cooperate and to get together and say, "You're okay and I'm okay," and to stop holding up the standard of Christ and forfeiting that for popularity and acceptance and being liked. You see, the Bible tells us that this guy is a beast. He's out of the earth, out of the orderliness of the world. In verse 12 it says, "And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him." Now when it says he exercises, it just means he does it. And it says the power, and the word power here is the word exousia. It means the liberty. In other words, he's been given the freedom and the authority to do bad things. God's not going to hinder him. He's not going to hinder the Antichrist, and he's not going to hinder the false prophet. He's going to give him liberty to speak. There are times when I preach that I feel like I'm preaching, you know, with my legs, you know, chained, because there's just a little difficulty getting lift. I use the term. Other times, God just gives me a liberty to speak. And you know, when people get on the stage of society, whether it's an entertainer, a singer, or whatever, do not doubt that those people have an anointing. The devil delves out a little bit of, you know, a little extra help for some people, you know. And sometimes what he does is he, in his own sinister way, enhances the ability for people to have what I would call a sinister anointing. There are whole cross sections of what the rock music talks about. It talks about having out-of-body experiences. It talks about, you know, having an ability to see beyond this illusion. And there's all this stuff. And when they get in there and they've got the drugs and they've got the music and they've got the beat and they've got the words and they've got the flow of everybody in the room saying, "Yes, that's it. Yes, we'll rise up and we'll make the bugger's eyes water, speaking of God." Man, stuff starts happening. And what I'm saying is, Christians are taken out of the way. There will be no more restrainer. There will be no more restraining. The church is gone. Morality is out the door. And the Bible says this guy is going to speak like a dragon. When he speaks like a dragon, he will exercise all of the liberty and freedom that the Antichrist did. And he will do it before the Antichrist. In other words, as in history, you have prophet and king. You have priest and king all through history. You know, the whole concept of the priesthood was really the way that religion began to factor itself back into political power. By the way, our president said in his statement about meeting with the Vatican that he does not meet with the Vatican as with none other. He meets with the Vatican as if he was meeting with another national leader. Seeing him as a national leader. It's just been about a decade ago, maybe a little more, that the Vatican actually got a seat in the United Nations. Because the world wants to put them on a level where there's that morality, that presence. Now, they don't do much, but they do reserve and hold close to the vest the power to always trump in if they really needed to. Now, they've never done it, but if they really wanted to trump in and say, this is wrong, and all our Catholic people, we're going to call them to do thus and so, that would be worldwide, you see. That would be worldwide. But what we see here is that this he exercises all that liberty, and he does it before the Antichrist, so he realizes that he's not the head, but that he's going to be the helper. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the helper. When he speaks, he will speak of me, Jesus said, of the Holy Spirit. And here, when this false prophet speaks, he's going to exercise power. And the Bible says he's going to cause everyone, or he's going to cause the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. His job is to help point to the beast. This is what the Holy Spirit does. That's why many see in here the terrible trio, the false trinity. He's going to point to the Antichrist, and he's going to cause them to worship him. And the word worship means to puppy dog toward him. We ought to be doing that to God. Puppy dogging toward Jesus. Puppy dogging toward God. Being lit up about God. Well, he's going to... And people are puppy dogging toward stuff, by the way. Don't fool yourself. Everybody worships something. Some people get lit up about sports, and some people get lit up about cars, and some people get lit up about money, and some people get lit up about immorality. But everybody puppy dogs about something. Okay, that's why it's important for you not to create a vacuum. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Because if you're puppy dogging about God, it makes everything else a lot easier to handle, a lot easier to face. Because God's got to be the center of all your heart, or everything else will make its appeal and overwhelm you. Verse 12 says he's condescending in the world to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now again, this is said three times in this chapter about the deadly wound that was healed. But I would maintain that I do not believe personally the devil can raise the dead. I think that's one thing he's not going to be able to do. I don't think he raises this dead. I think this is talking about the head that was wounded earlier. The heads are identified with the ten kings, the ten kingdoms, the span of human history, the resurrection of the Roman Empire. It was destroyed. And then the Antichrist gets to be the embodiment of this entire kingdom. And he's going to be awed at. You know, if everybody's flowing toward the nostalgia of people who are thinking, okay, we're going to get the new world order, we're going to get the Roman thing really back on track, and boy, it's going to be great, and we'll all be taken care of, and we'll have all the things we ever needed and wanted, and everybody's behind that. The one who gets the credit is the guy who's standing in the office when it takes place. And that's the beast. And he's the one they're going to worship. And this false prophet's going to have some special powers. The Bible says in verse 13 that he's going to do great wonders. And he's going to do great wonders so that he make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, do not be mistaken. The devil is a counterfeiter, and he has power. When we see Jannes and Jambres in the court, in the king's court, in Pharaoh's court, and we see Moses walking in and saying, "Let my people go," and he cast down his rod on the ground and it turned into a serpent, Jannes and Jambres said, "Step on," so, "Well, that's nothing. Watch this." And they cast their rods down too, and they turned into serpents. And the Bible says that at that point, of course, Moses, I'm sure his eyebrows raised pretty high. God didn't tell me about that, you know. He just said, "Go on in there." He didn't tell me I was going to get some resistance. What did he do? He stood there and he watched as his rod ate their rods. He put his hand forth, it became a rod again. Now, what I'm saying is, if you follow the stories and the accounts there in the book of Genesis of how Pharaoh and his Jannes and Jambres magicians withstood Moses, they would answer one miracle after another, but there came a point when they said, "We can't do this. This is definitely the hand of God." So they had their magician doing stuff with some kind of supernatural power. Do you believe the devil has power? You better believe he does. The devil can do some stuff. And when the time comes that the gloves come off and the liberty is given to the Antichrist and the false prophet, he's going to bring fire down from heaven. Now, that's going to keep everybody really enthralled. Now, folks, we are all about being bewitched today. We're looking for the next bewitchment. People say, "Well, you ought not legalize marijuana." Why? Because it leads to harder and worse stuff. Well, it's the same thing with anything else. I mean, you cannot go into this world chasing after thrill after thrill after thrill and ever find a place where you're sustained. Because of the vast amount of leisure time, in the past 20 years or so, this world has given birth to a whole new thing called extreme sports. People don't have anything to do, so they start jumping on bikes and going up on loops and flipping around, and they're on roller skates and they're on skateboards and they're doing stuff people never dreamed of 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We didn't dream of this stuff. Man, we would ride a wheelie down the road. That was about as, you know, dicey as it got. Hey, let's make a ramp. Woo! I'll tell you what, get your little brother. We'll put him under a board and then... Anyway. That was about as bad as it got. But now we've got so much time on our hands, it's all about a new thing. Extreme sports. And what I'm saying is that this world in which we live will promise thing after thing, but in that day, the devil will be able to take gloves off. He's been held at bay. Back in the days of Genesis 6, when the sons of God intermarried with the daughters of men, and the whole world was filled with violence, and there was a whole lot of things, and God had to come down with the flood and put some angels in chains held and reserved in darkness for having gone after strange flesh and doing wrong and not keeping their proper estate. Man, all that stuff's going to be done. That's going to be put aside, and the world is going to say, wow, look at that, wow, look at that. And there's fire going to be coming down from heaven. And that's going to be also not only like Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, but we saw this earlier in the two witnesses who are going to bring fire down out of heaven and devour those who try to say something or stop their testimony. You remember that, don't you? That's already happened. And this is the Jannes and Jambres thing. God says, yeah, this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to let him answer fire for fire. Elijah answered by fire. These prophets, these two witnesses will answer by fire. And God's going to say, okay, I'm going to take the gloves off. I'm going to remove the chains. He's opened the abyss already. And now the false prophet's going to have the liberty to do great wonders. And the word wonder here, by the way, is the word sign. And it's very important that you gather this. This is all about false prophet. This is all about signs and religion. Because God would bring to your thought and to my thought that religion in and of itself is not necessarily a good thing. You can't just go just open-hearted in any direction just because it's religious. In fact, in the Bible it tells us many times that God is going to send false teachers in the last days. The whole book of Jude is dedicated to the fact that men are going to creep in unawares. They're creeps, man. They creep in. And they're going to go after the way of Cain. They're going to hate the blood sacrifice. They're going to go after the way of Balaam. They're going to try to circumvent God's people with false doctrine. So they'll go in and defile themselves. They're going to go in the way of Korah, who rebelled against truth. And yet they're going to be teachers in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about perilous times coming because men are going to have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And we live in that neighborhood today, folks. Everywhere, false teachers. Just as the Bible says there were false prophets among them, there will be false teachers among you, not sparing the flock. It's very important that we stay close to this book. Because if you do not, the world will carry you away in a flow. Because the moment you start saying, woohoo, we're all getting together, bring down the walls. Remember that? Just about two decades ago, we had the Promise Keepers movement. They were just using the same thing the Mormons do. You know what the Mormons do? They get you thinking, yeah, you know, I wish my family was better. And you see this cute little tear-jerking Hallmark card kind of commercial. Mom's in there and she's doing the dishes. And all of a sudden, the husband comes in and he grabs a towel and he snaps her on the hind end and he walks up and gives her a little snuggle. And we're all saying, oh, isn't that sweet? And all the women who read all the novels out there, all those romance novels, oh, I just wish I had a husband like that. And so now it's all baited and you got some honey, but underneath the honey you got corruption, and they come in and they talk about our Heavenly Father and how you're a God and you're just not evolved yet and how there is no hell, and that's their gospel. And the Promise Keepers came in with the same carrot and they said, you can get your families together, guys.